RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. The launching of annual report on European Union Asian Development Cooperation. The importance of building integrated transportation infrastructure. Migration policy of Malaysia. Now the news in details. The European Union launched the first edition of European Union Asian Blue Book. The book gives descriptions about cooperation development of Asian European Union and member countries. On the launching event, which was held in Jakarta on September 14, 2016, Ambassador of European Union to Asian, Francisco Fonten, symbolically handed over the European Union Asian Blue Book to Secretary General of Asian, Y.M. Lee Lung-min. Francisco Fonten said that the European Union and Asian are the leading integrated regions in the world. European Union has committed to keep increasing cooperation and to add fund for the development cooperation. By increasing cooperation between Asian and European Union, it is hoped will further strengthen the relationship between the two regions.
Both regions wish to achieve the same goals for our people, peace, economic prosperity and security, and that we have become the two most advanced region integration projects in the world. It is therefore no surprise that our cooperation has flourished so strongly over the years.
Ambassador Francisco Fonten further said that European Union and Asian have had huge relationship of trade and investment. In the next future, European Union and Asian will get more increased development cooperation. Funding of the European Union to Asian Development Cooperation Program during 2014 until 2020, reaching 196 million euros. The amount is not included in European Union cooperation with every Asian member country yet. The European Union, together with its member countries, became the world's biggest donor in 2015, with contribution worth 68 billion euros, or equal to the total of the world development assistance. European Union Ambassador to Asian, Francisco Fonten, said the European Union and Asian can learn to overcome the immigrant issues. Fonten Francisco in Jakarta on Wednesday, September 15, at the Asian Secretariat said the issue related to immigrants occurred in various parts of the world, including the Asian region. In Europe, the issue of immigrants are discussed in the framework of the European Union and settled through bilateral and regional cooperation. Asian, as a partner of the European Union, can learn and provide relief to the problems which now becomes the focus of the world.
I think we can use help from absolutely all our partners. These kind of issues of migration tend to be of global nature. And if you want to tackle things of regional nature, you have to count with your neighbors. And if you're dealing with issues of global nature, because, you know, refugees, political or economic, they come from all over the world, you need partners all over the world, and certainly from ASEAN as well.
Wave of refugees flooded Europe in recent years. Waves of immigrants continue to arrive, even amid several European Union countries refuse to accept the refugees. The refugees from the Middle East mostly come from conflict countries where they had sought refugee and better shelter in Europe. Indonesian government keeps on encouraging the transportation infrastructure development in many regions in Indonesia. The integrated building infrastructure is expected to boost the service for transportation users. It was said by Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi at the Indonesia's Transportation and Infrastructure Exhibition 2016 at Smesco Convention Center Jakarta on Wednesday.
Tidak saja berkaitan dengan hal-hal yang sifatnya sektoral.
It is not only related to sectoral things, but we always think of how the integration of infrastructure that have been built by Ministry of Public Works and People's Housing will be developed by good activities, which are also supported by Indonesian Traffic Police Corps. It is also followed by other ministries, which is indicated that the government is to build infrastructure seriously, the economic infrastructure. Moreover, Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said the Ministry of Transportation will also give bigger portion for private parties to participate in building transportation infrastructure. He explained that private parties will be involved in order to alleviate the government's budget without denying development target. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government of Malaysia through Department of Immigration issued policy to freeze assets and company account which hire illegal laborers in the industrial sector starting in October. Councillor officials of the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Yusron Ambaria, says that it is a good step to decrease the number of Indonesian illegal workers in Malaysia.
Buat saya ini adalah sebuah langkah yang sangat baik ya yang dilakukan oleh pemerintah Malaysia. Hal ini dapat terjadi karena banyak juga.
For me, it is very good step which is helped by the Malaysian government. It happened because there are many businessmen in Malaysia tend to receive and hire the workers illegally. With the rules from the government of Malaysia to freeze assets of the businessmen, it certainly will give a pressure to the businessmen to do not use illegal workers. The policy will also affect to the number of illegal Indonesian migrant workers in Malaysia. Yusron Ambari also said if the policy is held maximally, it will help the Indonesian government in implementing function of protection to Indonesian migrant workers in Malaysia. Yusron hopes all Indonesian illegal workers, both from ministry sectors and other sectors, to immediately administer their documents to the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur to ensure the security and safety during their work. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, said the ministry is drafting agreement of joint maritime patrols with the Philippines. The minister also said at the Parliament Complex, Jakarta, on Wednesday, the agreement will facilitate both the government of Indonesia and the Philippines in overseeing the Sulu waters, particularly piracy areas. According to the minister, there is also the authority to handle the robbers that is important and reach a collective agreement. He continued, the absence of this agreement will make the government did not have the authority to chase pirates after entering of the sea border. Indonesia may get stronger support for its fight against piracy by joining the regional cooperation agreement on combating piracy and armed robbery against ships in Asia. The senior advisor to the Assistant Secretary for Borders, Immigrations and Trade of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Policy Office, Sean Moon, told the Jakarta Post on Wednesday that the Regional Cooperation Agreement on Combating Piracy and Armed Robbery Against Ships in Asia, or RECAP, membership was essential, although Indonesia had reached a trilateral maritime security agreement with Malaysia and the Philippines to secure regional waters. Moon underlined that international cooperation and cooperation at sea were key to address maritime security issues because the sea itself was inherently international. The U.S. official further said, RECAP would welcome Indonesia's presence as a member of the multilateral agreement in which it would complete its regional patch because the cooperation overlook and would create holistic coordination. Fashion designers Handi Hartono and Yogyakarta's Lulu Lutfi Labibi have been given the honor as the first Indonesian designers to participate in the 8th annual Museum Cartier Vienna Fashion Week, which is slated to take place between September 12 to 19, 2016. The Museum Cartier Vienna Fashion Week is an annual event that attracts around 10,000 visitors, among which are fashion designers, commentators, fashionistas, as well as the industry's movers and shakers from Austria and beyond. A member of the Information and Public Diplomacy staff at the Indonesian Embassy in Austria, Wina Ratnasari said that around 80 fashion designers, both international and local Austrian designers, are slated to take part in this year's Fashion Week festivities. Hani Hartono and Lulu Lutfi Labibi are scheduled to showcase around 20 designs from their 2017 Spring and Summer collection at Vienna's Museum Cartier. The Indonesian ambassador for Austria, Rahmat Budiman, said that Hartono and Labibi are the first Indonesian designers to take part in the Museum Cartier Vienna Fashion Week and are expected to bring a distinctive Indonesian touch that will hopefully grab the attention of the fashion communities in Austria. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, welcome to our commentary entitled Port Performance Boosts National Economic Growth. Port activities are critical to promoting economic growth, especially through the loading and unloading activities that support export-import performance. Many are complaining about the long dwelling time or loading or unloading time in some ports in Indonesia. Therefore, the government is committed to improving the performance of loading and unloading activities at major ports in Indonesia. During the inauguration of Kalibaru Container Terminal 1 in Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta, Tuesday, September 13th, President Joko Widodo explained that all countries currently are preparing themselves to meet global competition. Therefore, Indonesia must not be left behind and just stay put. Development of infrastructure starting from quicker and more efficient dwelling time is believed to boost competitiveness and economic growth. The president also ordered trimming the dwelling time from 7 to 2 until 3 days. This applies at Belawan Port, Medan, Tanjung Perak, Surabaya, Tanjung Emas, Semarang, and Makassar, South Sulawesi. To prevent any problems, President Joko Widodo asked the chief of the Indonesian police to monitor the process of dwelling time. Related to the president's order, Police Chief General Tito Karnavian said the police would see result of improvement in every port. If it does not go smoothly, the police will form a task force to investigate the matter. The police chief asserted the control starts from the stage of pre-clearance, namely bureaucracy and licensing procedures, then the process of customs clearance by the customs. The last is post-clearance stage involving the port authority. Meanwhile, President Director of PT Pelindo II, Alvin Masasya, revealed to ensure operational readiness, Kalibaru Container Terminal has implemented a number of tryouts that began last January 28th. According to Masasya, the operation of Kalibaru Container Terminal is supported by operational readiness in terms of infrastructure, superstructure, as well as information systems on the dock site. Also, field and gate readiness, as well as synchronization process between terminal services with other government agencies such as the customs, immigration, and quarantine. It includes the logistics business operators and owners of goods so that the dwelling time can be shortened. The improvement in the dwelling time to 2 until 3 days will enhance the competitiveness of the Indonesian economy, especially the export and import. If the performance of export and import run well, the national economy would increase. This would especially remove high-cost economy and implement the government's Nawacita programs as well as combat corruption. That was commentary.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to our daily program, Today in History, of our RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We begin with an event that happened on 15 September 1950, when Hajar Rangkayu Rasuna Said was born. Hajar Rangkayu Rasuna Said, who was born in Maninjau, Agam, West Sumatra on 15 September 1910 and died on November 2, 1965, was a well-known Minangkabau women leader who was active in Indonesian political movement. Rasuna Said became active in the Sarekat Rakyat or People's Union organization and later became a member of the Indonesian Muslim organization Persatuan Muslim Indonesia. She was imprisoned for a period for her activities by the Dutch in 1932 in Semarang, Central Java. After the proclamation of Indonesian independence in 1945, she became a member of the Sumatra Representative Council or Dewan Perwakilan Sumatra. In 1959, she was appointed a member of the Indonesian National Advisory Council, a position she held until her death in Jakarta in 1965. She was declared as a national hero of Indonesia by President Suharto in 1974. Her name is currently used as one of the main arteries of Jakarta, Jalan HR Rasuna Said, which runs south from the central district of Menteng toward the busy commercial areas of Kuningan and Mampang. Rasuna Said was buried in Kalibata Hero Cemetery in South Jakarta. The next event was in 1950 when the U.S. forces landed in Incheon, Korea. Korean War, which was held starting from 15 September 1950 until 27 July 1953, was a conflict between North and South Korea. This war, also called a mandated war between South Korea, which was supported by the United States and the United Nations allies, while North Korea was supported by People's Republic of China and the Soviet Union. The main ally of South Korea was the United States, Canada, Australia, and Great Britain, even though many countries sent soldiers under the United States flag. North Korean allied forces, such as People's Republic of China, provided military forces, while the Soviet Union provided war advisors and aircraft pilots, as well as weapons to the Chinese and North Korean forces. And the last event was in 1995, when women's rights in the United Nations was legalized. Final declaration of the United Nations Conference about Women asserted that women's rights is an integral part and cannot be separated from the human rights. It was adopted by 181 delegations that participated in discussion. Catholic and Islamic countries have tried to exclude idea about sexuality words, but this effort was useless because the last word of those words is still contained in the declaration. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today, it's on Indonesia hosts the 4th Asian Small and Medium Enterprises Conference 2016. Indonesia is hosting the 4th Asian Small and Medium Enterprises Conference 2016 themed Small Business or Startup, held in Jakarta from 13 to 17 September 2016. It is attended by 16 countries outside Indonesia. The number of conference participants reached 700 people, including 100 participants from abroad. Indonesian Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Puspayoga, in a written statement on Tuesday, September 13, explained that Asia has now become the center of economic growth and the largest market in the world. According to him, Asia is becoming one of the most competitive business environments and ready to compete with other continents. Puspayoga said, "Micro, small and medium enterprises in Indonesia are growing rapidly in Asia." To facilitate the movement, Puspayoga said the government is working on regulations on it. He said, SMEs in Indonesia continue to demonstrate growth and increased interest from the public. He hoped that SMEs can survive and thrive in the face of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. He added that the 4th ASEAN SME Conference 2016 is expected to be an event to strengthen the competence of SMEs to understand global competitiveness. The 4th ASEAN Small and Medium Enterprises Conference 2016 has a lot of interesting program events, such as industrial visits or visiting companies that originated from SMEs or supporting the SMEs in Indonesia, such as Astra and Marta Tilaar. Additionally, there are presentation of research papers on the theme of SMEs, Indonesian cultural performances and conferences that bring many SMEs global speakers, such as Professor Landoli Luka, President of ICSB, International Council for Small Business, Professor Ki Chan Kim, the immediate past president of ICSB, attended by Indonesian Minister of Cooperatives and SMEs Puspayoga, and Ridwan Kamil, the mayor of Bandung. Listener, that was the focus today.
Welcome back, listener. Here's news in brief. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto said the ministry is drafting agreement of joint maritime patrols with the Philippines. Indonesia may get stronger support for its fight against piracy by joining the Regional Cooperation Agreement on Combating Piracy and Armed Robbery Against Ships in Asia, RECAP. Fashion designers Handi Hartono and Yogyakarta's Lulu Lutfi Labibi have been given the honor of the first Indonesian designers to participate in the 8th annual Museum Cartier Vienna Fashion Week, which is slated to take place between September 12 to 19, 2016. Listener, that was News in Brief of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nyoko Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it's a great pleasure to meet you in our program Indonesian Wonder. Today we want to invite you to an Indonesian culinary, namely tongseng. Stay tuned. Listener, Idul Adha celebrations is identical with lamps, because at that moment, Muslims in Indonesia celebrate the Idul Adha by sacrificing goats, lambs, and cows. The meat is treated to various types of dishes. One of them is tongseng kambing or goat tongseng. The sweet taste and savory combined with tender goat, also with intricate of cabbage and the spicy, make this culinary mostly favored by many people. The taste is more delicious when it's hot. Listener, tongseng is a typical culinary from Indonesian region, Central Java. This culinary is actually inspired from Middle East traders. In the 18th to 19th century, many Middle East traders come to trade in Indonesia. Besides trading, they spread the religion and brought some of preference, including culinary. One of the culinaries made from lamb or goat, because they like eating the animal. their preferences influence the people of Indonesia. The lamb is made to be a satay, while the innards and other parts of the goat are made to be curry. From the curry soup, the tongseng is made. The word sang from tongseng is taken from word oseng oseng, which means the sauteing. To make tongseng, sauteing the lamb first, then adding onion, garlic, pepper, hazelnut, and slice of cabbage. Do not forget to add the soy sauce and boiled lamb sauce on it. All of the ingredients are cooked until done. After the ingredients cook, the tongseng is ready to be served. The taste is really delicious. If you want to eat the soft and not smelly lamb, you must not wash the lamb with water before cooking it. It is better to wash the lamb by pineapple juice or lime leaves. Listener tongseng is believed came from Klego, sub-district Boyolali, Central Java, and then it spread to entire Indonesia. People in Klego work as a farmer. However, due to their low income, they turn to be a satay and tongseng sellers. In Klego, there is also a seller monument with satay cart and tongseng, which showed Klego people's pride to this culinary. So for those who are interested to try the taste of tongseng, you can come to Klego Boyolali, Central Java. You can also enjoy the tongseng in some regions in Indonesia because the culinary has been spread to the entire Indonesia. The price is about 30,000 rupiah to 50,000 rupiah per portion. Well, listener, that was about tongseng in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Surabaya Tour Bus. Stay tuned. Listener, besides Jakarta with its tour bus called Empok City and Bandung with the name Bandros, now Surabaya turns to own tour bus called Shopping and Culinary Track that always ready to drive tourists around Surabaya. The bus is managed by the Surabaya Tourism and Culture Department. The bus also helps the passengers to have an adventure in Surabaya and determine their perfect time to go around. The passengers can reserve to the youth building or the Balai Pemuda for the bus ticket one day before they're traveling with it. The Surabaya Shopping and Culinary Track Bus travel always starts from Balai Pemuda, Surabaya. The bus can fit for 24 passengers. In one day, the bus only operated for 5 hours.
If you want to take the bus, make sure you know the schedule, because the bus only drives you 3 days in a week, which is in Tuesday, Saturday, and Sunday. The bus also have 4 different routes every weekend. Museum visits becomes the first route on the first weekend. The bus will visit several museums in Surabaya, such as Tugu Pahlawan Museum, Kesehatan Museum, and Bank Indonesia Museum. On the second week, the bus will travel with marine visit that goes to the Kapal Selam or Submarine Museum and MER Small and Medium Enterprises Center. The third route takes the military marine as the theme of visit. Passing through Submarine Museum, Yosudarso Monument, Lokajala Krana Museum, and ITC Grosir Center. While the historical visit will be at the fourth week, the route visit historical places in Surabaya such as Cultural Park, Biji Junction, Lawas Maspati Kampung, and Joko Dolok. Since the route begins from the Balai Pemuda, the place always be the main destination for every tourist in Surabaya. Well, for listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Surabaya Tour Bus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We meet again on the next edition of Miscellany. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition will present you to an Indonesian talented pop singer, Harvey Maliholo. To initiate the segment, let's enjoy the first song sung by Harvey Maliholo, entitled Dara.
Dara, dalam gerakanmu, gemulai kau menari seiring nada syahdu. Aku termangu-mangu. Nara, kau sungguh jelita, anggun dan penuh pesona. Binar bola matamu dan senyum yang menawan menggetarkan jiwa. Oh Dara, kau pikat hati yang tak mengerti apa arti senyum di sela-sela tari. Ku cari kau ke sini, ke ujung dunia pun tak peduli. Darah,
saudara, kau sungguh jelita. Anggun dan penuh pesona, binar bola matamu dan senyum yang menawan menggetarkan jiwa. Oh darah, kau pikat hati yang tak mengerti apa arti senyum di sela-sela tari. Cari kau ke sana, ku cari kau ke sini. Ke ujung dunia pun tak peduli. Ku cari kau ke sana, ku cari kau ke sini. Ke ujung dunia pun tak peduli.
Harvey's talent in singing is inherited from his grandfather, who has a good talent in singing and popular in Indonesia during the post-independence of Indonesia, Bram Aceh. Harvey's grandfather is active in the Association of Hawaiian Music. No wonder if Harvey following his grandfather in singing, who has a golden voice. Harvey also has a golden voice, which has been proven in some Indonesian pop song festivals. Harvey has always been a winner. After he won the radio and television singing contest in 1998, his debut began to shine. A lot of recording companies scrambled to record his voice to be commercialized, especially after he made a duet with an Indonesian female singer, Rafika Duri. His popularity is then getting more increased. Harvey and Rafika Duri created some duet albums and spread in Indonesian music industries. Well, listener, let's listen to the coming song by Harvey and Rafika Duri.
Sinar matahari betapa indah cinta kita.
The song Cinta Pertama has a strength of tone with good lyrics, which is related to first love that become the sweet memory belongs to everyone. Harvey's popularity lasted only for a decade, although his songs are still enjoyed by Indonesian music lovers. And to end this program, we will listen to a song from Harvey. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Menggapai dalam anganku saat ku ingat dirimu menyentuh kalbuku. Hanyalah bayanganmu hadir dalam rinduku. Seakan tersenyum untukku, menatapku. Ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku. Oh, merintih hatiku kini memanggil namamu. Apakah kau merasakan hal yang sama saat ku memanggil namamu saat ini? Ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku, merintih hatiku kini memanggil namamu. Oh, ku makin merindukanmu sampai sampai ke dalam jantungku. Oh, merintih hatiku kini rindukanmu.
Thank you. jadi dunia untuk menemani sang Adam. Begitu juga dirimu tercipta untuk temani aku.
Hilang tenggelam, aku bersama ayahku ini. Cintamu ku bawa mati, bersama ayahku ini. Cintamu ku bawa mati, bersama.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.